Yo, what is up YouTube? It's your boy T-Hatch coming back at you with another video. Today, as you can see in the title, I am going to be talking about my second tier of NBA draft prospects here in the 2020 NBA draft, and that includes two players, Onyeka Okongwu out of USC and James Wiseman out of Memphis, or maybe not out of Memphis, but we'll get into that, and much more breaking these guys down. So this one, a little bit unlike the video I did on LaMelo Ball on Wednesday, which I will leave a card there for you if you want to go check that out, where I broke down some film on some of the things that I saw from LaMelo Ball and wanted to show those to you. With this one, where I've got multiple players that I'm going over, I am going to skip over the film analysis on these, and I will actually go ahead and drop a link in the description to Mike Schmitz, his coverage with these players, actually breaking down their film with them on a live interview. I definitely recommend checking that out, because not only are you going to see some of the things that I'm talking about here, but you're also going to get the player's perspective on that. So I definitely recommend checking those out. But with that out the way, I want to get into this, and I actually first want to talk about Onyeka Okongwu, who, coming out of USC, or I should say coming into USC, did not have a ton of hype like we saw with guys like James Wiseman and some other big men in this draft, but has definitely played his way into being one of the top two, top three bigs in this class, depending on who you talk to. And some people, depending on their view of James Wiseman, may actually have Okongwu as their best big in this class. And after diving into the film on Onyeka, I can definitely see why they believe that. So to talk about Okongwu, let's start by talking about his frame a little bit. He stands at 6'10" tall, about 6'9½" based on the measurements, but in shoes, that's a 6'10" for sure. 245 pounds, as well as a 7'2" wingspan. So he definitely hits the numbers that you would need out of a center in the NBA. Now, it is not the otherworldly measurements like we're going to go over with James Wiseman and guys of that likeness. However, it is not deficient for what you need to play center in the NBA. And as Onyeka will tell you himself, he can also play a little bit of four. However, I believe his best spot in the NBA is going to be the five. I think that's where he's going to provide the most value with his combination of skill and athleticism at that size that he has. I think the five spot is where he's going to have the best impact in the NBA. So first I want to talk about the pros that I see out of Onyeka's game. And first I want to talk about the defensive end, because I believe that he is an incredible defender, and he's probably the best defender in this class as it stands today. I'm going to talk about Wiseman in a bit here. I think his potential is maybe a bit higher on the defensive end, but he has to hit that potential to be better than Onyeka. And as it stands right now, I believe Okongwu is the best defender in this class. So what I see with Onyeka on the defensive end is that his timing is second nature when it comes to really his feel for the game on the defensive end, his timing on shot blocks, knowing where to be, what to do. He is a very smart defender and likes to use that to anticipate what the offense is going to do, and often finds himself in the perfect position to play what the offense is doing, regardless of what they end up deciding to do out of those situations. And that goes for pick and roll, that goes for post up, that goes for everything that he is going to have to face defending in the NBA. He has been able to do that at a high level. Now, it's not to say that there aren't some mistakes, not to say that there aren't areas that he can improve. We'll go over that later, but he is amazing on the defensive end already and has just a very natural feel for what to do on the defensive end. Another thing that I love about Okongwu is that he really does consider himself a defensive player. A couple quotes I grabbed from him from an interview, quote, "Defense is what I do." Love that. Love hearing that. Quote, "I take pride in the defensive end." So Onyeka is a guy who really gets hyped up on defense in the same way that scorers get hyped up on offense. They get hyped up to make a sick play, a nice shot, break an ankle, whatever it is on the offensive end. That's what Onyeka feels like on the defensive end when he's able to completely stalwart a pick and roll, when he's able to block a shot, when he's able to take a big man one-on-one in the post and shut him down. He gets hyped up on that, and that gets me hyped up. I love seeing guys that go out there on the defensive end, take it upon themselves and say, you're not going to score on me. I don't care what you do. I'm going to defend it. This is where I take pride. Defense is what I do, and you are not getting through. I love that. I love that. I love that. And I'm not the only one. NBA GMs and coaches love that mentality. That is the kind of guy they want captaining the back line of their defense for years to come. And that is exactly what you're getting in Onyeka Okongwu. So something else that I mentioned previously is that he's got excellent timing when blocking shots. And something that I think is a little bit underrated is that he stays grounded until he knows they are going up for a shot. He's not the kind of guy who's going to get out of position on pump fakes a lot. He has that second nature feel for being able to tell when a guy is actually going to go up with that full shot as opposed to hitting him with those little pump fakes. Knows how to stay disciplined, keep his feet on the ground in a good position where he is still explosive, and then wait for the perfect time when he knows for sure that that ball is going to be exposed, that shot is going up, whatever it is, and attack the ball at that point. He's not out here trying to anticipate, okay, there's this little opening on the left, I need to get there and get my hand up. No, no, no. He's reading that offensive player the entire way through and waiting till he knows for sure what they're going to do, and then attacks the spot where the ball will be, and he's done great at that at the college level, and I think that will translate to the NBA very early and will only get better over time. Something else I notice about watching Onyeka on the defensive end is that he has great positioning in pick and roll, particularly in drop coverage. He has a feel for how to play that kind of flash and recover defense to deny the lane to the rim for the pick and roll ball handler while also being able to recover and defend the lob as well as defend a catch and finish from the big at the rim. So really good in those pick and roll drop situations at positioning himself perfectly to still not let his roll man get behind him, because at that point it's all over, but also playing up enough, playing engaged enough, keeping his hands engaged enough to that ball handler to where they have to think twice about driving to the rim. They have to think twice about trying a pocket pass because his hands are in perfect position, as well as they have to consider, gosh, can I even throw this lob? Because what you'll see over and over again with Onyeka is that he is able to play that flash, but quick enough, athletic enough, and long enough to be able to recover and tip that lob away if they go for that lob pass. So being able to do this at such a young age, showing a great ability to do this even in college, projects very well to the NBA, where he is going to come in, be usable day one in pick and roll coverage on defense, and only going to get better, 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 and I believe become excellent in the NBA with pick and roll defense. Something else about Onyeka on the defensive end is he is very switchable. He has the speed, quickness, and length necessary to stick with guards close enough to make them play on the ball, to make a play on the ball. So when he gets switched onto a guard, onto a wing, he has quick enough feet to be able to stick with them. He stays in a stance. So even if they get that first step on him, because let's face it, they are quicker and faster being so much smaller, he is able to keep up with them, use his athleticism to stick with the play. And then when they finally expose that ball for the shot, the layup, the pass that they're going for, whatever it may be, he's still in close enough range where he can use his length and agility to make a play on the ball and usually stop that from being a successful possession, whether it's getting a block, a steal, or just deterring the play enough that they kind of have to reset and give him an opportunity to get back to proper positioning on defense. He was great at all of that. So that is something that is going to translate very well for Onyeka. Something as well as he has the body and mind necessary to play the five spot on defense, anchoring the back line of the defense while chasing guards and wings around on the perimeter. This is a very, very unique skill set to see in a guy so young as Onyeka Okongwu. The agility combined with his length, but beyond that, his smarts on the defensive end. He is able to anticipate what's coming at him, stay in his stance, get ready for what's coming, and figure out how to be in the right spot at the right time to make a play on the defensive end. And again, he loves doing it. He gets hyped up at these opportunities, which is exactly what you want to see from a great NBA defender. So again, this is not to say there are not improvements he can make. I will talk about that later on in this video, but he is excellent at switching on the defensive end at such a young age. Now, he's going to have to improve to hold up with some of these NBA guards. I mean, goodness, if you get switched on to LeBron or Kevin Durant, that's going to cause some problems. There's going to be some feeling out periods where he's got to figure out how to handle all of that length, athleticism, skill, all of that combined into one package. But of course, sitting here saying, oh, this rookie is going to come in and not be able to guard LeBron James and Kevin Durant day one. Whew. Well, who is able to come into the league and guard LeBron James and Kevin Durant day one? Pretty much nobody. So saying that he has room to improve is really like saying that Anthony Davis still has room to improve on the offensive end. He's already incredible for the age that he's at. He's already doing things that we should not expect out of a guy this young, and it really leads me to believe that he could be special on the defensive end. Now, something else about his defense is that it's only really going to get better as he learns more and gains more confidence to command and communicate with his teammates on the defensive end. So right now, even though he is a very smart defender, he's able to see the plays that are coming, see them happening in real time, and figure out where he needs to be on the defensive end. He has a little bit of a tough time communicating that with his teammates, or at least it seems he doesn't quite yet have the confidence to command them to be where he needs them to be. He needs to start taking it upon himself as the five man on defense and as really the best defender on his team. That was the case in USC, and really use that as a position of power to say, guys, I need you to be there. I'm going to handle my business. You get up there and cover that guy. Guess what? I got your ass on this guy. You know, we'll get these rotations. I need you to be there. That's where he has to get next, to where he feels confident enough in himself and in his knowledge of the defensive end of the floor, where he has no problem pointing guys out, telling them where to be, telling them what to do, and doing that all in real time. That's the next step for Onyeka on the defensive end, and I think that will take a few years to develop as he gets into the NBA, takes his lumps early his rookie year, because let's face it, every rookie is going to make rookie mistakes. So he's going to have to take those lumps. He's going to have to learn how to defend NBA players, because it's a different level of play, it's a different level of skill, athleticism, everything with each of those players on an NBA court than he was seeing in college, and that's going to be an adjustment. He also has lots of improvements to make with his technique on the defensive end, which I will talk more about later, but he's going to need to improve there as well before he feels that confidence within himself to start commanding his teammates on the defensive end. Another thing I wanted to add about the defensive end for Onyeka is he is really good at rebounding on the defensive end, but I do think he needs to improve his box outs and his positioning before he's going to be any type of elite defensive rebounder in the NBA. He was not an elite defensive rebounder in college. He was a good defensive rebounder in college. So moving on, going to move on to the plus sides for Onyeka's offense, and I really saw a lot more than I thought I would for Onyeka. So what I've got here in my notes is that he has lots of potential on the offensive end to be a near ideal modern five-man. So first thing I want to mention is that he works very hard on the offensive glass, and it pays off. He gets in, moves guys around, gets in position, fights for rebounds, And it quite often pays off for him. And again, I think that's something that's only going to improve as he gets better coaching at the next level, as he gets in-game reps, that's only going to improve for him. Something else about Onyeka is that he has shown an excellent ability to roll fast and hard off of his screens while also being in what I would put as the 90 to 95th percentile at catching lobs. He has the dexterity to catch and finish in all manner of ways, whether it's off balance, out of reach, adjusting the finish to the defense. It doesn't really matter because Onyeka will usually finish off that play. So he is excellent in the pick and roll. He is going to step into the league day one as a good rim running big who can defend for you as well as on the offensive end, set screens, roll to the rim, and make finishes at the rim in those situations. He's also shown an incredible level of touch for his age at that size. That's the key point there, is at his size. Few bigs have ever really had this level of natural touch at that young age. He has it with both hands as well. This is the thing. So whether it's, you know, hook shots, floaters, entry passes, kicks to the corner, all of them seem to come out of his hands very naturally, and it's just the right amount of touch that he's putting on these balls. I have never seen a center at the college level who was able to hit these feathery, beautiful, perfect entry passes into the post like Onyeka can do, and really what this shows me is that he's only going to improve as a decision maker, as a passer, as a really skilled offensive big on that end of the floor, where he's going to be able to feather lobs into the perfect spot as he gets more used to throwing those, gets used to playing with other players on the floor that can catch those lobs and finish at the rim. He's going to get used to hitting shooters in the corner as he's playing with a lot more shooters in the NBA, as well as, of course, you know, the NBA as a whole is obsessed with getting as many open three-point shots as they possibly can. So what's Onyeka going to look like in short roll situations, hitting the corner? My goodness, it's going to be something special if he can improve that. So I think he does need to make some improvements with his decision making as well as his ball handling before he hits that point, but he's already showing the level of touch necessary to make those plays, and that is a huge thing for a big man prospect coming into the NBA. Next thing about Onyeka on offense is I think he has very polished footwork in the post, which is not something that you see a ton this day and age. He can finish over both shoulders and displays a great level of finesse on these finishes. So we've seen him get looks in the post, really go over both shoulders, finish with finesse, and really be able to feather in a variety of shots and finishes where you'll see him take them with one hand, you'll see him do it with two hands. He can finish over both shoulders at a high level for his age. It almost reminds me in some ways of Al Jefferson a little bit, with the arsenal of push shots, hooks, runners, all these things. But unlike Al Jefferson, he is not the kind of ball-stopping post big who, you know, sits there, takes his time sizing a guy up, takes quite a few dribbles down there in the post. That's not Onyeka. Onyeka is really a guy who's going to get, he'll catch the ball and attack immediately. He takes maybe one to three dribbles, zero if he doesn't need one, but usually he's going to take one to three dribbles to get himself into the right spot, to get his defender off balance, and get that just little bit of room that he needs to get that shot off and finish. And he does a good job at it. I think he's really good, like I said, at attacking off the catch, because this is something we need to see in the modern NBA, and I think this is where post offense is going in the future, where instead of having these classic guys where you throw it down to them and you soak up 10 seconds of a possession dribbling away in the post trying to make something happen, that's not Onyeka. He's going to get the ball immediately immediately attack, and then once he gets that guy off his spot, his defender obviously, he's going to make a decision with the ball where he's either going to shoot or pass. And he's going to figure that out very quick within those first three dribbles, and he's not going to waste a bunch of time. This is what I think post offense looks like in a modern NBA, and he's already got that mindset. So he does need to polish it a little bit more. He does need to get a little bit better with his decision making and, again, his ball handling. But as that improves, he's only going to get better. So next thing about his offense is I think he has the potential to be a very effective short roll passer, as I mentioned earlier, because he has shown good vision and touch, but again, needs to tighten up that handle and decision making, especially in those short roll situations. He struggled a bit with those in college, but he's also shown on some occasions the flashes of brilliance where he can hit an open man in the corner, where he can take a dribble, where he can, I mean, shoot, he's attacked off the dribble. He's got a Euro step he can use. My goodness, he's good on the defensive end. So again, talking about that Euro step there, I think he can actually develop as an effective face-up scorer. Facing up is not a huge part of his game right now, because he has a little bit of trouble attacking the defense that tends to sag off a little bit. If Onyeka is able to start hitting 15, 17 foot jumpers off the catch with consistency, he is going to get that defender right up in his chest, and that's the point where he can make tons of plays as a face-up scorer and really opens up all the options, whether it's the rip-throughs, whether it's attacking immediately off of the catch, Euro step like I mentioned earlier. He'll have an arsenal of moves that he can go to if he can get that defender pressed up against him and playing him, respecting that jump shot. So on that note, with the jump shot, I think Onyeka shoots the ball well from the free throw line. This really projects great for him, especially as a young big. He's currently shooting 72%, which again is great for a young big. This combined with the high level of touch that he has shown projects him to be a good shooter who should be able to stretch it out to the three-point line in a few years in his NBA career. So I think maybe that'll probably be a year two, year three, maybe year four development for Onyeka, where he's actually hitting those NBA threes with any consistency. But what I want to see from him over the course of this offseason, maybe it takes until next year, his second year, that would be obviously, where he can start hitting those 15, 17 foot jump shots with consistency. If he can do that, like I said, he is going to open up so many opportunities in the face-up game by bringing the defender really close to him and putting him in a vulnerable position to be attacked off the dribble, to be attacked with a variety of moves that he can use in that face-up game, and then, of course, can always turn it around and back the guy down. So I think that's only going to get better for him as he improves as a shooter and opens up his arsenal in the NBA. So all that said, right now it sounds like he's a surefire prospect, going to be amazing. Onyeka's not perfect. There are some areas that he needs to improve. So as I mentioned multiple times, he needs to improve his decision-making on offense. He has a tendency to turn the ball over as he attacks immediately upon catching the ball. So what you'll see a lot of times is, he's so focused on the pick that he's setting, on the roll, on catching the ball, that he doesn't really keep his eyes up to the rest of what's happening on the floor. So when he catches the ball and immediately goes to attack, it kind of leaves some blind spots open that the defenders can exploit and get a few steals off of him, make him, force him to make some bad decisions, and it really puts him in a bad spot. So as he improves with his decision-making, with the places that he should be putting his eyes, his footwork, everything like that off of the catch, he's going to improve over time. And I think this is only going to get better as he gets NBA level coaching, as he gets in-game reps and really is able to improve there. But it's going to make him look bad at times in his rookie year, where you're going to see some plays, you're going to see some turnovers where it's like, ah, what the heck was that? Whatever team he ends up playing for, his fans are going to have a love-hate relationship with him for his first year or two in the NBA as he feels this out, as he gets those mistakes out and learns how to play better and make better decisions on the offensive end of the floor. So while Onyeka has great feel on the defensive end, he still has lots of room to grow. He struggles currently against strong bruiser type bigs, the kind of guys that'll post you up and back you down. And he's going to have some rough nights his first couple years in the NBA, against some of these bigs like Joel Embiid, who are going to back you down and beat you up. Even a Nikola Jokic is going to cause problems for him, being able to throw his weight and his strength around right against Onyeka. He's going to have a tough time. Something else he needs to improve on is his technique when he gets switched on to smaller players, as currently he has a tendency to kind of push everyone to the right side of the floor with his technique, his stance that he gets into on defense when he gets switched onto a smaller player. And currently, right now, he has a tendency to push guys toward the middle. So if he's defending somebody who's on the left side of the floor, left side for the offense, that is, He'll set up in a way that pushes him away from the baseline straight to the middle of the defense, which in some cases that's going to be a good thing. In some cases, that's going to put his help defense, his team, in a very tough spot where you've got a guy downhill straight to the rim, leaving your shot blocker, your five, in his dust, and it's going to be like, oh my goodness, what do we do now? Is that rotation going to be able to get there on time, or are they going to be too committed to a corner shooter to be able to get over there and cover Onyeka's butt at the rim? I have my questions. So that's something he's going to have to improve. He's going to have to make some changes to his technique, but of course, that's well within his ability, and that is exactly the kind of thing that coaches are going to teach him at the next level, so I'm not too worried about it. Now, Onyeka projects as a good shooter, but he's not stepping into the league day one as a good shooter. He's not going to be able to hit those 15 to 17 foot jump shots with consistency. But the thing about it is he's not that far off. He has really good form. He has natural touch. But I think he needs another 2 to 3 years of putting up thousands of jumpers to hit the point where it is a true weapon for him in the NBA. So I think, you know, we're going to see for his first year or two, he's going to be able to hit some of those shots. Some of them are going to look really good, and then there's going to be some where it's not quite consistent, where he hesitates to put one up, things like that, that are going to give you cause for pause there. But I think over time, as he works on that jump shot, it's only going to get better, and it's only going to get more consistent. So overall, that covers my cons that I had there for Onyeka. To summarize, I think Onyeka Okongwu is in an excellent position as a prospect whose weaknesses are all within his control, and the improvement needed is well within his grasp. When I first heard the comparisons between Okongwu and Bam Adebayo, honestly, I laughed. But after studying Onyeka's game, I see the similarities. They're not the same player, that's for sure, but I do think Onyeka can fit into a very similar role in the NBA by leveraging his strengths in the same way that Bam does. So Bam is a stronger, more forceful player than Onyeka, but Onyeka has this natural level of finesse that he has shown at an early age that we just did not see from Bam Adebayo, and even in some ways are not seeing now. So he's going to be much more of a finesse player, but I think they both possess the ability to create from the five spot on the offensive end, as well as share the ability to protect the rim on defense and guard 1 through 5. So really, Onyeka's role in the NBA looks very similar to Bam Adebayo's role, which is defensive anchor on that end, best defender on the team, play the five spot, protect the rim, and switch 1 through 5, while also on the offensive end, using your level of skill to help create on the offensive end, be a playmaker in short roll situations, or as we see with Bam Adebayo in Miami, dribble handoffs. I think that's something that's well within Onyeka's grasp as well, although we have not seen it yet, to be clear. But that is something that he could add to his game. His level of touch, his ability to score, and really just displaying that skill and footwork is a great foundation for Onyeka to grow with in the NBA to eventually become a player who can showcase his skill on the offensive end and create for his teammates. That's exactly what Bam Adebayo does now, and it did take him a few years to get there. We didn't see all of this in college, but there were the little flashes. There were little flashes of brilliance from Bam. I see lots of flashes of brilliance from Onyeka Okongwu, even if it is in his own way slightly different. But I think they fill a very similar role in the NBA. So overall, I think Onyeka has great character. He seems to be articulate, pretty smart. And he's also willing to criticize his own game, understands how he can get better, and is excited at the opportunities that he has to get better, which I think is awesome. I think that's the mindset he needs to have coming into the NBA, and it's exactly what he does have. He also shows emotion out on the court in all of the right ways. He gets fired up when he makes those blocks. He gets fired up on big plays. He also, you know, gets visibly frustrated when he gives up a bucket, when he doesn't do his job on the defensive end, but he never has like lash outs like a DeMarcus Cousins would, where it's just like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? Yeah, you fouled a guy at the rim and you got called for it. Settle down. We don't see any moments like that from Okongwu. I think he shows his emotion in the perfect ways out there on the floor. So I believe highly in Onyeka Okongwu to reach his potential and become a problem in the NBA. That is for sure. Going to take a little break here and then come back and talk about James Wiseman. All right, back from a break, got a drink of water, feeling better, and now we are here to talk about James Wiseman, my other Tier 2 prospect in the 2020 NBA Draft. The first thing that I mention with James Wiseman is his incredible measurables. He has got an NBA-ready frame if I've ever seen one. He is 7'1" tall, 235 pounds, and has a 7'6 wingspan. 7'6. Sheesh. That is really long. And as you can see with Wiseman, just look at some pictures, look at some highlights, he's built. He is built, and he's got a frame that's going to be able to add muscle in the NBA if he needs to get stronger to contend with some of these strong bigs. So his frame is just absolutely ridiculous to go along with his level of fluidity and athleticism. Very rare, very rare. I think the last time that we saw a guy with these kind of measurables be that fluid out on the floor was Joel Embiid, which being mentioned next to him, that's a special category to be in, unless you're talking about durability. So one thing about, or multiple things about James Wiseman is I think that he's got gobs of potential on the defensive end. So Wiseman has shown great growth on the defensive end of the floor and has all the tools needed to be a defensive monster. Now, I just got done telling you how I think Onyeka Okongwu is the best defender in this class. I think James Wiseman has the best potential as a defender in this class, and I will talk a little bit more about that briefly. So one thing about Wiseman is that he has the length, strength, and athleticism that is a rare combination, and one that is going to have GMs and coaches licking their chops at the chance to develop Wiseman on the defensive end. He has displayed good timing when blocking shots. When he is fully engaged, he can do really anything that he sets his mind to. He has a great ability to grab rebounds on the defensive end. He's really great at boxing out and positioning early to getting his work done early on those defensive rebounds. And then beyond that, he uses his athleticism and his length to finish what he started. Always keeps at it, fights for the rebound no matter how many chances it takes. He's going to keep fighting. He's going to come down with that rebound. And the combination of his ability to box out and position early as well as his length and athleticism really gives him a rebounding range on both ends of the floor that is incredible. Incredible. The rebounds that he can pull down that really he's got no business bringing down, except when you look at his size, his athleticism, he does have business bringing down every rebound. And the thing that I noticed about him is that does seem to be his mindset. He knows that he can go up and get any rebound that he wants. And as he's engaged in the game, if he keeps his head in it, he can have any rebound he wants, and he knows it. That's the thing. Big men that are that physically dominant, that much of a specter as a rebounder, that's what they need to be a great rebounder, is to just know, forget these guys, man. I don't care about all these other guys on the floor, where they're positioned at, what they're doing. I'm the biggest MF-er out here. I've got more length and athleticism than anybody, so I'm going to get that rebound. We saw that from Wiseman on both ends of the floor, so I think he's going to be an excellent rebounder at the NBA level. Next thing is, I think he's starting to show a level of passion and emotion on the court that we didn't see early on from Wiseman in his, you know, kind of high school career. But in college, we saw some flashes of him, you know, really bringing it out of himself, and that's what we need to see. So we're starting to see where, you know, in previous years, he would kind of back down, give up on a play, not really finish it. Now he's starting to understand what his potential is on the defensive end of the floor and really attacking those opportunities and making sure that he does not let a play get past him. We need to see even more of that as he continues. So next, I think, sorry, just reading my notes here. When he has his head right, he can play the pick and roll perfectly on defense. Now, key there being when he has his head right. If there are possessions that he's not really in it, he's not feeling it, he's not feeling the responsibility as a defensive anchor to let nobody by, there are times where he'll kind of just give up on a play. There are times where the pick and roll will be coming and he doesn't quite read exactly what's happening. All of a sudden, the ball handler is two steps ahead of him and he just doesn't know what to do at that point. That stuff does happen to James Wiseman, and we are going to have to see him take the next step when it comes to his motor, when it comes to keeping his head in the game, to be able to be an excellent defender at the pick and roll. But when he does have his head in the game, he's absolutely perfect. He knows exactly where to position himself. He gets down in a stance perfectly against ball handlers. He keeps the big in front of him, so he's good at drop coverage. He's able to flash and recover. My goodness, he can play the pick and roll perfectly when he wants to. So with Wiseman, that really sums up my thoughts on the defensive end, at least for the pros right now. I want to talk about his offense because I believe that he has limitless potential on offense. He could literally do anything that he wants to if he's willing to work for it. He has flashed shooting ability and should be able to hit threes at the NBA level pretty early in his career, but he has flashed this ability to shoot on the move, to really, you know, shoot in all variety of ways, whether it's off the dribble, whether it's off the catch, whether it's off a spin. It doesn't really matter. He has shown an ability to hit shots in all manner of ways, which is mind-blowing for a 7'1" guy with a 7'6" wingspan to have this level of touch to hit these shots all over the floor with good form, good footwork. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's the kind of stuff that jumps off the screen when you're watching film. Now, what you also see, you know, I'm not going to mention that yet. I'm going to talk about it later. His shot selection and when he decides to use that ability that he's got to improve there, but I'll talk more about that later. So right now, just clicked out of my notes, nice and fun. there we go. I think Joel, or just about said Joel Embiid, James Wiseman has the ability to be a dynamic face-up scorer. He has the touch and ability to attack off the dribble that will cause problems for NBA defenders. I think James has lots of dribble and scoring moves in his bag that he's going to be able to go to, and I think for him it's really going to be figuring out when to go to these moves, polishing his footwork on these moves, tightening up his handle just a little bit, but the potential is there, the framework is there to where he can be a highly skilled offensive player. He's also very good at ducking into post-ups, getting and maintaining position, making the catch on the post-up, and using his footwork and athleticism to finish the play, whether that's a strong finish at the rim or using that ability to shoot, like I mentioned earlier. But again, I'm going to mention a few things later about his decision-making on what exact types of shots he decides to go for in the situations that he does it. I also think he has the strength to hold off strong bigs in the paint, so when he does get that post-up positioning, he doesn't get pushed around often. He doesn't get pushed away from his spot very often. I also think he has a combination of strength and touch that is just incredible for a big at his age. It really gives him the framework to add almost any moves that he wants to his offensive arsenal. And just being able to do that on top of the frame, the athleticism, the length, the strength that he already has, oh my gosh, just imagining what he could be is, it's crazy. Something else that I found interesting in listening to interviews is that he loves watching the classic bigs, the legendary bigs like Hakeem Olajuwon, Moses Malone, Shaquille O'Neal, and he really likes watching their film and emulating some of their best moves, which is a really great sign for a young big man who wants to go out and watch the best who have ever done it and pick off some of their best moves, practice them, and start using them in a game. That is just something that you want to see, a guy who's able to watch film and emulate it out on the court, and we have seen him doing that. Now, just going over a couple things that I think are a little bit redundant, have already mentioned them. I think he has a good ability to attack off the catch. Defenders are going to have a problem defending Wiseman when he's on his game. Again, it's kind of like the defensive end. He's got to decide that he wants to do it, but when he does, he can do literally anything out on the basketball court. He's also flashed good vision as a passer, good touch as well, and he should be able to use his passing and playmaking as a weapon as he improves over the years. Excuse me, I am sorry about that. As he improves over the years, he is going to be able to use that touch and vision as a weapon on the offensive end as he tightens up his handle as well as his decision making. But he's got the framework with the handle. He's got the framework with the passing. He's just got to put the work in and tighten it up to where it's consistent. So moving on from that, I want to talk about places where James Wiseman can improve. And so I think one thing about Wiseman that I noticed is that he's got a tough time locating the ball on the defensive end. Sometimes he'll be in fairly good position as a defender, but not necessarily see what the offensive player is doing with the ball, and that leaves him open sometimes for pocket passes, for lobs over the top, that in his position he should be able to stop. So he's going to have to work on identifying where the ball is and where it could go so that he can anticipate this a little bit more and really, really get one step ahead of the offense. Sometimes he has a tendency to get lost in pick and roll coverage. He can kind of get lulled to sleep a little bit, and then next thing you know, he's way too far behind the play to really do anything about it. So he needs to keep himself engaged. He needs to learn a little bit more about pick and roll defense so that he can keep the play in front of him and be able to make a play, put himself in position to always make a play. That's something he can improve on for sure. He also needs to improve his mentality. He recognizes that he has not always been in tune with his ability and his potential on the defensive end. So I heard this in the interview where he mentions a lot, you know, oh, I've kind of recently opened my eyes to the potential that I have on the defensive end. And that's a really good thing to hear, because what we saw early in his career is he'd kind of just stand around and not do anything. He'd not use that big frame that he's got, but he's starting to understand with the physical traits that he has been gifted and the dexterousness that he's got out there on the floor, what he can actually do on the defensive end. And as he continues to realize that potential, he's only going to get better, but he needs to capitalize on that. I think he has everything that he needs to be great. He just has to recognize what is possible and chase it relentlessly every single day, every single game, and every possession of every game. He has to be demanding the best out of himself. Something else I noticed is he has a tendency to be okay giving up a play on defense, or okay just using the skills that he has on offense, and is not necessarily relentlessly wanting more. I think his motor and his work ethic are questions, but I think he's also shown the ability to improve, and he's shown stretches out on the floor where his effort was excellent. So it's there, but it's a work in progress for Wiseman, and he's got to improve on that, but he has definitely shown the potential of what he can do when he's locked in. Wiseman tends to be a quiet guy, and I think he needs to come out of his shell a little bit more and show some dominance, as well as if you're going to communicate the way that you need to on the defensive end, he's going to have to improve with that. He's not quite yet switchable. I think there's just some things that he needs to learn on the defensive end before he's able to truly counter what smaller, quicker players are able to do against him. But I think that's something that comes down to learning the game a little bit more and just being committed to not letting these guys score on him. So it's something he could improve on if he decides he wants to, which, based on the interviews I heard, it sounds like he does. He also has a tendency to take bad shots in the face-up game. He believes in his touch and his skill so much that he leans on it too much. There are situations where he's got open players on the floor, he's getting kind of double-teamed, but he knows that part of his arsenal is a freaking dribble, spin-around jump shot that's fallen for him before. He knows he can hit him, but does that necessarily mean you should be taking him all the time? Does that mean you should pass up an open shooter to take a tough, contested, off-the-dribble turnaround shot? No, you shouldn't be doing that, and that is something that he has to learn, and he's going to have to learn to trust his teammates as much, if not more, than he trusts his own skill if he's going to become a good decision maker and a great playmaker in the NBA. James also needs to improve as a passer. He needs to work on his decision making, and he needs to be able to think the game in real time. Like I said, I think right now he trusts his skills a little bit too much and trusts his teammates a little bit too little. So hopefully that will improve at the NBA, where he's going to have much better teammates, and it's going to be much more apparent to him that his skill, his length, his athleticism isn't going to carry him everywhere as NBA defenders start yamming on him in the NBA. The other thing is, I think he gets a little bit of tunnel vision as a scorer. I kind of mentioned that already, where he'll just believe in himself more than he believes in his teammates. So that's where I think he can make a huge improvement. Overall, to kind of conclude my thoughts on Wiseman here, I think James Wiseman has flashed the talent to be the best player in the 2020 NBA draft. He has not yet shown the consistency to be the obvious number one pick. On top of that, Wiseman's situation with the NCAA forced him to miss the college basketball season, which was one that he could have used to show his improvement on both ends of the floor, and he really could have quieted down some of the concerns and criticisms of his game, mainly being his motor and his decision making. We just didn't get to see enough plays of him in college for him to quiet those concerns. If James can make the improvements that he has flashed permanent, if he can make those improvements permanent and play with consistency on the court, demanding excellence from himself, then he will be the best player to come from this class, no question about it. If he does not demand excellence from himself and rather submits to being really good instead of great, then he will be one of the saddest stories of lost potential since Andrew Wiggins. What I have heard in interviews from Wiseman gives me about 70 to 80% confidence that he will demand more out of himself in the future, enough so that he will be able to reach his potential. So, to really sum up my thoughts on James Wiseman, he has all of the tools that he needs to be absolutely great in the NBA. He just has to demand greatness out of himself every day, every play, if he's going to reach that. And I've got about 75% confidence that he will. So that really sums up my thoughts on both of these players. As for which one is better, it really depends on what you want to do. If you're a team that needs a big and you want to bet on a boom or bust prospect, Wiseman is the guy because he could be just otherworldly. He has got so much potential on both ends of the floor that he could be absolutely excellent on offense, absolutely excellent on defense, and be by far and away the best player in this class. If you are more focused on getting a guy who has already shown the motor and the skills necessary to be a productive player in the NBA, Onyeka Okongwu might be the guy that you go for because you know he can step in day one, be a good defender on an NBA level, as well as finish at the rim on the offensive end, and then just start to build on his potential moving forward into the future. And that potential is really good. He's flashed a level of touch, a level of decision making, or rather I should say playmaking. He needs to work on that decision making, but he's shown a level on the offensive end where you really can see the path to him becoming a high impact offensive player on top of him already being a high impact defensive player. So if you need the safe choice that has the potential to go bigger, Okongwu is the guy. So that sums up my thoughts on the tier two as I see it in the 2020 NBA draft. I will be coming in the future with a tier three video, however, not going to be as long of an explanation as this was, as that tier includes many more players than this tier two. So all that out the way, I am exhausted, but I definitely appreciate you sticking with me this far into the video. As always, if you enjoy the show and want to see it grow, the absolute best way to do so is to simply share this with your friends. So definitely share it on social media. Consider leaving a like if you enjoy the video. And if you want to see more of my content in the future, definitely consider subscribing as it is totally free and just tells YouTube that you want to see more of my content. And if you want to be sure to never miss a video every time that I post, always hit that notification bell, hit all on there, and you will get a notification every time that I post a video. So with all that out the way, I hope you have a great rest of your day. Peace.